Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Lord, we've come. Lord, by your Spirit you've drawn us to you. Lord, we've come with our hearts open wide to you. Speak your word. Let Jesus speak, Lord. So now we've come. Now we've come unto your word, we have come. Now we have come. Now we've come, Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, we've come with our hearts open wide to you. Speak your word, speak your word. Let Jesus speak. Lord, speak your word, speak your word. Let Jesus speak. Speak your word, speak. Jesus, speak your word. Speak your word. Let Jesus be Lord. Speak your word. Speak your word. Let Jesus be Lord. Refine. Hallelujah. So we're talking about working out your salvation. Working out your salvation. And in the first service, we explain what it means for to work out your salvation with what? Fear. And what does that mean? With all seriousness. With all seriousness and reverence to the Lord. That fear there is not suggesting physical fear. Are we together? With a deep reverence for God. And we quoted a scripture in the book of Psalms. What scripture was that? What does it say? Let's read it together. It says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with what? And this is no way suggesting what? Physical fear. Are we together? Is in no way suggesting what? All right. And I began to try to explain how that angels move in the direction of God's word, isn't it? They move in the direction of the word. And I explain how that if you are saying wrong things, you don't expect angels to come around you. Can you remember that? It's not possible. I'm trying to get a scripture. It's in the book of Revelation. The Bible says, is that when the one who sat on the white horse moved with the white horse, he said the angels accompanied him. Are we together? That's what power of scriptures. Get it for me. Revelation 19 what? Verse what? verse 13 and 14. Okay, so let's see it together. Our drummer knows the Bible in our church. He was clothed with a robe deep in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Next part of scripture. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on a white horse. Who are these armies in heaven? They are the angels. They followed him who is seated on the white horse. What is his name on the white horse? The Word of God. So angels move in the direction of the Word. There's a part of scripture that says in the book of Psalms that when God speaks his Word, it says the angels accompany it. Alright, so angels were designed to follow the Word of God. Very important. And that's why some people argue that angels are not supposed to hearken to human beings. They are only supposed to hearken to God. And it's true. Angels are not supposed to naturally follow the instruction of human beings. It's not supposed to be like that, naturally. And by naturally, I mean due to the state of the fallen man. Do you guys understand what I'm trying to say? They are not supposed to hearken to the voice of a mere man. You see, but since angels are supposed to hearken to the voice of God, and God gives us authority over angels, then angels listening to us are angels hearkening to the voice of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Angels what? Listening to us are angels what? Hearkening to the voice of God. So they are not listening to us because we threaten to beat them up or something, but because God says they should listen to us. Are you listening to me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So naturally, if you see somebody arguing with the fact that angels are not supposed to listen to us, it is because that person is thinking that we are fallen men and we're not, you know, he's not seeing us, he's not seeing himself or seeing Christians or seeing human beings the way God sees them. You know, we are God's righteousness, isn't it? Hallelujah to Jesus. And God sees us like himself. The Bible says God is our mirror. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we behold Jesus like a mirror. We are being what? Transformed. Are we together? We are being what? Transformed. We saw in the Old Testament, I'll just do a few scriptures and we'll continue. The Bible said in Hebrews 1:1, yet let's see Hebrews 1:1 yet. It said it said God who at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet. Now, and at various times in various ways spoke in time past. Alright? Right now, God is not speaking to us in different ways. He speaks to us by his word. He speaks to us. But in the Old Testament, he spoke to them in various ways in time past by the fathers. I mean, to the fathers, by the prophets. Are we together? Are you listening to me? Now, various ways he spoke to them. And of course, sometimes he comes in a cloud and speaks to them. Sometimes the angel appears literally and speaks to them. Are we together? And that is why Paul speaking to us, you know, I think it was Stephen that started talking about this in Acts 7. You know, the person speaking in Acts 7 was Stephen, who died, right? Who was martyred. He was the one speaking to the Jews. And if you observe something very wonderful there, Stephen was not speaking to people who were not intelligent with the understanding of the Torah, the scriptures in their days. When he was speaking to them that angels, laws were given by angels, none of the Pharisees argued. Did they argue? Because they understood from the Torah that the laws were given by what? Angels. And you want scriptures for that? There are a lot of them. I've done them before, but let me just do it again so that some of you hearing me for the first time will understand. Galatians 3:19. It said, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through what? Appointed through what? By the hand of a mediator. That's one. Secondly, let's see what Stephen said in Acts 7:53. Acts 7:53. It said, who received the law by the direction of angels and have not what? Kept it. They received the law by the direction of angels and did not kept it according to Stephen. Let's see verse 34. Not
34, then I'll read verse 38. It says, when they heard these things, they were caught to their heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Okay, I say verse 34. And I started reading my thing, waiting to consign me. He said, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their groanings, and I've come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send you to Egypt. Next part of scripture. And I don't go a little bit backward. Now let's read together. One to go. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush. Now mark this. Who appeared to him in a flame of fire? An angel of the Lord. In the wilderness of what? Now hear what the angel will begin to say. Next part of scripture. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him. Did you see that? Who appeared? What voice are they saying came to him? The voice of the Lord. Interesting, isn't it? Now, next part of scripture. So Moses was interfaced with an angel. But when the voice was coming from the angel, it was said to be the voice of the Lord. And it is in several parts of scriptures like that. It says, saying, I am the God of your fathers. The God of what? Abraham. The God of what? The God of what? And Moses trembled and dared not to look. Next part of scripture. Then it says, then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Next part of scripture. I've surely seen the oppression of my people. Now, this is an angel speaking in the stead of God. Do you understand? Are you seeing what is happening here? It's surprising, isn't it? And etc. Next part of scripture. It says, I will send you to Egypt. Then this Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? Is the one God sent to be ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. Now, he emphasized that. Now, who appeared to him in a bush? Now, when the angel spoke, who spoke? It was the Lord. Are you getting confused? Now, I explain this kind of power like the name explains in the Greek. What is that kind of power in the Greek? Exousia. Right? He was speaking in the stead of God to the people. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. Now, it's quite confusing, but that's how it is in scripture. Because they were leveraging on the covenant of the old. So God could not interface with them face to face. He couldn't speak with them face to face. Are you listening to me? But on a better covenant, the Bible says, we'll behold the face of God like in a glass. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We're going to build with time, but because of what we are teaching today, let's continue our reading. Next part of scripture. It says, he brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Next part of scriptures. It then says, this is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise another prophet like me from the brethren whom you shall hear. Next part of scripture. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on what? On what? And with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us. So who spoke to Moses on the mount? Huh? Let me teach you how to understand scripture. When you see one part of scriptures that scatters everything you have ever known, hold that part because it is expressed. It is being very definite. And this part of scripture said the angel of the Lord was on the mount. Any other thing now, you try to make sure it aligns with what you just heard. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Because the Bible cannot contradict itself. So if the Bible says an angel spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, now try to go and understand wherever you thought it was God that spoke. And if you try to understand better, viewing from what you just saw now, you understand it very, very well. God will begin to give you explanations. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. And like I said, the people that were saying these things, like, you know, this was Stephen speaking. Stephen was not confused. His audience were not confused. I know there's a part of scripture that looks quite ambiguous here. Let's see verse 37. And let me explain it briefly so that nobody gets it wrong. It said, this is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him shall you hear. Now, if you look at this, you will see a big capital letter H there. Him shall you what? That suggests to be who? Huh? Suggests to be who? Now, it's as if Moses is prophesying that God will raise another prophet like him, and that prophet will be Jesus, and the people should hear him. Now, Jesus did not come. Now, he may have started his ministry from the old into the new, but Jesus is more than a prophet. He is God Almighty. Are you listening to me? What Moses is trying to say is this. He said, just like I have authority over you people that I write. Do you know Moses wrote 300 laws? Are you aware? Outside the Ten Commandments he received on the Mount, he had over 300 plus, not just 300, laws. One of the laws suggests that if you are disobedient to your father, you should be stoned to death. Are you aware? One of the laws suggests that if you come to the podium and you joke with the name of the Lord, these comedians, for instance, would have died in the Old Testament. They will stone them to death. That you don't joke with the name of the Lord anywhere. Not just, you know, now they come to the podium here and they say whatever they want to say. But in those days, if they catch you just making comedy with the name Yahweh, they will stone you to death. It was brutal. That is why these are other of our brothers. You know, they kind of are living in the Old Testament. When somebody say Muhammad, they just carry stone and kill the person. We say Muhammad, and that they are still in the Old Testament. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? All misunderstanding and the rest. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's how it was brutal in the Old Testament. You don't joke with the name of the Lord. You don't joke with disrespecting your father and etc. Moses wrote those laws. So Moses is saying God will raise another prophet like unto me. He's not saying Jesus is a prophet, but that Jesus will have same authority and even more like he has over the people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like he could detect, you know, God said to Moses, I've made you a God over the people. Do you know there's a part of scripture that says that? He said, I've made you a God over the people and Aaron your prophet. Aaron your prophet. Yes, that's what the Bible said. So Moses had complete authority over the people. Are you all listening to me? So that you don't misunderstand this part of scripture. You know, I've seen somebody quoted this and he said, Jesus is the prophet like Moses. That's confusing. You are confusing people. Moses, in fact, the writers, the people who interpreted this part of scriptures would have not written H, capital letter H there, if they thought the way this person that I just quoted is thinking. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? All right, so do you understand this part of scripture? No confusion, isn't it? So angels are not above human beings. They are not. Somebody asked me a question, a very sincere question. He said, Pastor, if you say angels are not above human beings, are we equal to angels? No, we are not equal to angels. We are above angels. But he said that in the book of Revelation, an angel appeared to one of the saints, right? And the saint tried to worship the angel. But the angel said, do not, for I'm one of your what? Fellow servants. How many of you remember a part of scripture? So he said, the angel said, they are one of our fellow servants. So what do you think about that? And I said, it's so simple. It's just that you want to see the way you think it should be. Now, you see, we are sons of the living God, right? But that doesn't stop us from being servants of Christ. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God can still send us to do anything he wants us to do. But we are sons that still serve our Father like servants. Paul called himself a servant of Christ, even though he's a son of the living God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So we can serve kingdom purposes, even though we are sons. So if the angel says fellow servant, that doesn't mean he's a fellow son. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's so simple, you just want too much explanation. He said, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand? So we are sons. But we still share in that, probably, you know, something. So we have something in common. God can use us as God can use them. He can send them and he can still send me. God has given me a word for you before, and right now he's giving me a word for you. Angels work in that same ministry. God can send them to go and give somebody a word. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. And because we are higher than them does not mean they should worship us. We are not their God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? The ranking and the speed were higher than them, but we are not their God. So that they can't worship us, God. They are only destined to worship God Almighty. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So when I meet an angel who just bow down and say, Ka BAC. No. No. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And one of my friends, we were talking one time, and we were remembering when we had an encounter in Kaduna while we were growing up. We were doing an official meeting in our fellowship, and we got it encountered by the Holy Spirit in a very unique way. We started seeing gold dust, and we literally started having oil pour from our head. Some people would do their hand like this, and oil would literally pour. Somebody said, Pastor Simon, how did it happen? I truly don't know, but I remember I was in that room. I said, Pastor Simon, make it happen again. Is it me that made it to happen the first time? Now, it happened in such a unique way. Are we together? And some of us had different phases of the encounter. For me, I was literally seeing smoke. That was my specialty those days. Till today, I can stand in a public place and literally see smoke, literally, just rising from an atmosphere. It happens to me very, very well. That's an indication that something serious is about to happen there. And that I'm sensing a very strong presence of the Holy Spirit. Are we together? So my first experience was that I literally started seeing smoke. So I was showing them, look at smoke. Well, a few of them could not see. A few of them could see. The ones that couldn't see, all of a sudden they were shouting, see the angel, see the angel. Now, I couldn't see the angel. But the brother was seeing, his name was Solomon. He was shouting, angel, angel, angel. Not Prophet Solomon, my spiritual father. There was another young Solomon there. He was shouting, angel, angel. And he hit in his hand, hey, God, God. I was like, where is this angel? Now, there was one of my friend. The tea tire was sitting, we started smiling in the encounter. Boy, these people, they say angel, they say it, you know. I couldn't see anything. Hallelujah to Jesus. But the smoke, he couldn't see it too. But the oil, we all experience the oil. Are we together? Different phases of the encounter. Are we together? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So, it was so such a unique experience, but we can't idolize that presence. Are we together? And start saying, it must be like that every time. It must be like that every time. And etc. Well, my emphasis is the angel we saw. Or they saw. When they saw the angel, they didn't start worshiping the angel. The angel did not start worshiping them. Are we together? It was a unique experience because we're in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We saw different manifestations that day. I hope you know angels are around you. This is not a fairy tale. It's a truth. Angels are around you. And if you don't have that consciousness, the benefit of having angels around you, you will not see the manifestation. You know, a lot of people have the word of God in their head, but it's not. That's why they don't see encounters. They don't have encounters. They have it in their head, not in their heart. You see, this thing I'm saying, it sounds so simple, but it's powerful to somebody that has it in his heart, not just in his head. Are you all listening to me? You had the experience that I think they gave a testimony that somebody was praying in the Holy Ghost and thieves came into the house. I heard Pastor Joe prophesying that they will return your phone in the name of Jesus. Me and Mama T started laughing. Do you know why we're laughing? We're laughing because he's prophesying, and I don't know if he added that part of it. You would have said they will return your phones to you if you are praying in the Holy Ghost. But if you just said prophesy, they will return your phones to you. Some people here, they've collected their phones. How many of you here have they seized your phone before? I'm not trying to mock you. Wave your hand. Okay, even you, stand up. That's good. If they have seized your phone before, wave your hand up. They've not seized all of you phone in this place before. Pastor Phil, oh my goodness. This is embarrassing. Pastor Phil, stand up too. There's a sister there, they seize your phone. Where? Taraku, they just say, give me and you give. Alright. It's not bad to give, okay? The sister too gave. But they returned the phone. So sit down. You know why sometimes it's difficult to judge spiritual things? Let me give you an instance. Look at what just happened now. I said, how many of you did they seize your phone?
One lady there raised her hand, she stood up. Two pastors stood up. If they now say, you should explain why that person had an encounter, the lady he gave a testimony for had an encounter, that they brought her phone back, and why these pastors' phone were collected, you will try to create a doctrine. What will you say? Come. Why did they seize these two pastors' phone and return that sister's phone? Come. Okay, he said he returned his own too. Okay. They return your own too. Oh. Now, wow. If they return, then I don't know what to say. But imagine they did not return. Come. What will you say? Pastor Joe said they return one. Is that not what I heard? The second one, they did not return it. Don't say they broke it. So what will you say? They did not return Pastor Joe's food. They returned his friend's food. What would you say? What's your preaching be like?
I would say she was in the place of consecration at the point where her phone was taken from her.
And the pastor?
Was not in the place of consecration.
Okay, so you say Pastor Joe was not praying. Now say it brutally.
I would say that he needs to get more consecrated.
Wow. So Pastor Joe, do not set your consecration level. Look at him in the face now. You are bowing your head. You see. It's because he's here. If they are outside now, he will find a way to make it look nice. Say, no, that man is a man of God. It should not be like that. He probably was praying, but the angels did not hear the prayer. But for the other lady, the angels heard. Somebody may now say, you know, it gets to a height in God where God will take some things and it doesn't matter. The other lady is a babe in Christ. That's why he brought it back. But we that are mature, you hear different doctrines. One time, many years ago on campus, somebody died, a man of God died. He died on campus. They said, I don't know the true story, but what I heard was that he went to pray for somebody. I don't know if that's a story. Is that a story? He went to pray for somebody, and when he prayed for the person, he was going back home or something? Okay, he went to pray for somebody. The person recovered from the situation, but he died. So the news hit campus, especially for Christians who were rising. That somebody, a so-so apostle, went to pray for somebody. The person now survived. And before we can count one or two, the apostle died. What will you say about that kind of situation? It so pained me. I met the apostle once or twice before he died. And when I heard he died, I didn't even know what to say. So I went and sat down in that thinking. I went and sat down under that mango tree at computer science department. I was thinking. As I was thinking, I don't know if it's Pastor Anu. She just ran to me and, sir, she was still young that time in church. Sir, Apostle Susu has so have died. I said, yeah, I heard. Sir, did you hear what killed him? I said, no. He prayed for somebody and the person recovered, but he died. Sir, why? Direct question. Why will a Christian, a pastor, be killed by the devil? I was going to say, who told you he was killed by the devil? But I didn't know how to. And she wanted an answer immediately. I've had questions in my life. Oh. Hallelujah to Jesus. I looked at her. I said, well, I was trying to paint a picture. I was trying to look for a way to say it in a nice way. I said, see, something is wrong somehow. I think that was the answer I gave. I said, something is wrong somehow. I can't explain, but something is wrong somewhere. Because if it's God's word, he should not die. Are you all listening to me? If it's God's word, he should not what? Die. Listen to me carefully. Oh. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let me take this a little bit brutal. The Bible says when we break the edge, the serpent what? I'll give you an instance. Come. Imagine somebody wants to kill Oche. Imagine there's a principality, a demon, a wizard that wants to kill him. And the demon, who will I use for a demon in this church?
I said, who will I use? People suggested Ola. Why? Okay, he knows how to do drama. All right, come. Not because you are a demon, but because you know how to do drama. Ola, now you're going to act like a monitoring spirit. You are trying to kill Oche. So, what will happen in this scene is that you are looking for a way Oche will break the edge. Anytime Oche just breaks the edge, then you strike him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, what edge will he break now? Woman. Okay. Let a lady come. Any lady come. One lady should come. Precious, they say you should come. I'm following Jairus' instruction. So Precious, stand in the front. I want everybody to see this. Climb up. All of you should climb up. Climb. So Ola, I know you always used to understand me. Precious, come like this. Oche, a little bit backward. All right. Precious, face brother Oche. Oche, be doing like you are praying and walking with the Lord. When we walk with the Lord in the light, we'll be praying. All right, so Oche is fervent for the Lord. Then Sister Precious is passing by. All right, she just passes by. Then Oche sights Sister Precious. Which? So do like you now like what you see. This drama, people, is this Oche drama is really quack drama. So, all right. So you. They hit you. You are standing. Is that how you? You see. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm trying to be very practical with you people. Do you know every time we serve God, we live for God rightly, Satan will never have any edge over us. But immediately you disobey, Satan will have an edge. So imagine somebody is pursuing this guy from Igede land or Idoma land. He wants to kill him. Then one day they come, he's toasting a lady outside God's way. That's not his wife. If it's his wife, there's no problem. But he's outside. You know, to ask a lady out is not a bad thing. If she's your wife. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If she's meant for you. But Simon, how do you ask a lady that is meant for you? By the Lord. How do you do it? Do you go and say, oh dear lady of the Most High, thus says the Spirit of the living God, that you are my wife and both of us are supposed to become one in the name of Jesus. That's not how you ask a lady out. When God tells you that woman is your wife, you go to her, you say, hi, beautiful damsel. Can I please have a word with you? Can I get your number? I think I need to say something to you later. I know I'm not saying it the best way. Some of you wish you can come and teach me how to say it. But that's how you talk to her. Now, it's not a bad thing. Are you listening to me? But if it's not from the Holy Ghost, now you, Oche probably was on Facebook. And he just saw one lady. Facebook used to suggest friends. Precious is one of his friend's friend. Let's say, who is his friend here in the choir? Sonny's friend. And Sonny's Oche's friend on Facebook. So, Facebook will now say that if Precious knows Sonny and Sonny knows Oche, then Oche should know Precious. So, Facebook will now suggest Precious to who? Oche. Oche will now see Precious and say, oh, I like what I see. I will now add Precious. The next thing is, hi, damsel. Can you send your number? How many of you have done that too? Send number. Even in church group, some of you used to do it. You enter our church group and be collecting people's number. Have you done that before? You see how you are pretending? Ladies, do they message people in church group? Huh? And Sammy, do they message people in church group? You are covering for them. I'm trying to be very practical. Immediately you mess up like this. Now, the grace of God covers you. But a lot of times, Satan will have the edge over you. Are you listening to me? So it's dangerous not to live in God's perfect will for your life. It's very dangerous. Are you seeing this? Probably when she was praying, she was steering the ministry of angels. And when the guy took the phone and left, an angel kept on disturbing his heart. You have to return that phone. Because the atmosphere was charged. She was aligned. You know, God spoke to my heart, I think last week. He said, alignment is not just a blessing for you and your family. It's a blessing for a generation. Yesterday, a lady called me early in the morning while we were coming for cleaning. And she said, my mother got stroke, heart stroke, I mean. And she cannot move. And she's behaving like she's mentally unstable. Blah, 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 blah. And she said, Mama T prayed for her last week. And she was fine. And recently, the thing started again. Sir, please. She was not able to talk on phone, but now she can talk on phone. Please speak a word over her. The phone is close to her ear. The Holy Spirit told me, don't speak a word. He said, tell her to just end the call. The mother will be fine in less than 30 minutes. So I said, your mom will be fine in 30 minutes. Don't worry. I will not pray for your mom. Just cut the call, and in 30 minutes time, call me and tell me what is happening with your mom. I was bold with her. I told her, as the Spirit of faith spoke through me, in less than 30 minutes, she called me. The mother was behaving mentally unstable. I said, what is wrong with your mom now? She said, sir, she just fell asleep all of a sudden, and she's just resting right now. I said, that's beautiful. Now, listen, imagine at that point they called me. As a pastor, I was toasting a woman that is not my wife. I was toasting a woman. And they said, my mother is dying, pastor, sir. My mother is dying. I said, okay, wait. In Jesus' name, your mother should be fine. Now, in Jesus' name, I'll cut the call. They will now hear that the mother dies. Did I kill the mother? Huh? Some people are saying, yes, how? Did I kill the mother? I did not kill the mother. But if I was aligned, the mother would have died. Do you know, there was one of my friends telling me this. He said, there was a time his friend was just seeing what happened to his dad. Some of you don't have problems. Some people have real-time problems. He said, for as long as he was living rightly, he preserved his father who the uncles wanted to kill. And he said, one time he just misbehaved. The first time in his life he misbehaved. He was in a relationship. And he now misbehaved with the lady. He said, immediately that same day his father died. So immediately he finished and blah, blah, blah. He was just, later in the, he just heard, they just called and said, what is happening? Daddy just died. He just entered the call. And went to any church he saw that was closed and entered and started crying on the altar. I was crying. God have mercy on me. God have mercy. And he now went to that our friend and confessed to the friend and told him what happened. I was like, really? You know, I didn't really used to see things like that. The day he misbehaved, so Satan wanted to get the dad. How did he now do? He made sure the guy fell for the wrong lady. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's how the enemy works. And the father died that same day because he was the one keeping the family okay. Life is very spiritual, though. Very spiritual. That you have not had this kind of experience does not mean it does not happen to other people. A lot of people. You know, with our land case, the guy that was contesting for the land. Of course, the guy is a wizard. I told him to his face, I can say it on the air. He's a wizard. He worships the devil. And, you know, one time he came for me spiritually. And How the Lord works with me is that he will tell me what you are planning to do. You will not just come. When you come, it's like my head is like a machine. It will open the database and show me what wants to happen. That's how I get to see in the spirit. So that early morning around 4 to 3 a.m., my eyes were open. And I saw the person and I saw what he was trying to do. They wanted to give me this spirit of infirmity. Imagine, they wanted me to wake up and start misbehaving like I have mental. Maybe you will talk to me now, I'll be answering you northeast when you are talking east-west. Say, hi, prophet. You say, are you mad? Are you okay? Why are you telling me hi? Imagine that you wake up one morning and Prophet Simon is not talking well. Is that possible? Then you start praying for me. We bind the spirit of the devil out of the prophet. Out of the after I recover, will you come to that church again? Is it that church when our members cast demon from prophet? They call them our covering. Who in cover? We cover them. And now, so don't help them, we don't leave them. So that was what they wanted to do that early morning. I woke up immediately. When I just saw it, you know, one of the things, God, the way God have worked with me, demons, one thing I've observed with wizards when they come to attack me is that they come like this. You know, it's like you want to find trouble. You do like this, then you run away. That's how I've seen it. I'm not trying to be proud. I'm being 100% serious with you. There was a time I went to handle a case for one of our sisters, I think Ene. And the guy was bragging, he would deal with you. I just picked it that he was demonic. So 2 days later, I was in my room. As I saw the room, something just rose. And when I turned, it just fell back. How many of you can be in the room when something just go up and fall down back? You know? So when it just went up and fell back, I just looked at it and I said, okay, that was all I said. So it's as if it just carried something. And when you look, when I just, I was about to, you know, I was like, so it just carried, like some of you that when I turn like this, you just thin out from church. You know those people now? They did not know I see them. When I turn, I'm seeing their shadow moving with them. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when I was like this, as I just turned, then they kept it back and ran away. Just kept it back and ran away. I said, okay. I cannot, because of one Agatu man, start praying in tongues early in the morning. On what Zaki be a man? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That I went to one dirty part of his village and carry sand and mold sand. And I can't do that kind of thing. I don't pray for witches and wizards and say, in the name of Jesus, fire. No. You can't come now. I judge you. If I want to judge you, I judge you. Say, Pastor Simon, is this pride? It's not pride. I grew up understanding that your greatest strength as a Christian is wisdom. Wisdom is your strength. Paul said, I speak to them that have knowledge. He said, food meant by idols, are they not supposed to be eaten by us? Food meant for what? Are they not supposed to be eaten by us? Satan has nothing. You've been hearing me saying this for many years. And I'm not saying it out of low information. I'm saying it by the Holy Spirit. I'm saying it from substance. But yeah, are you sleeping? But did you catch this? So you see, that is why God does not want us to one day be a prey to the devil. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why the Bible says he has given us all for what? How many of you believe that all your life you can live above sin? You will never fall to sin. I tell you, even the people raising their hands, I don't believe you believe it. I tell you the truth. Even the people raising their hand, I believe it's just confession, raising of hand of faith. Many people don't believe that thing. We just say it in the Bible. They don't believe it. You know, one day as a pastor, I carried my Bible. I opened 1 John 3 and 9. And I asked myself, Simon, do you believe this? I started doubting my belief. The Bible said in 1 John 3 and 9, it said, if we are born of God, we cannot sin. Such a powerful statement. And I asked myself, Simon, do you believe this? Now, if I cannot sin, I should not expect myself to sin. So I cannot sin. Say it every day, joke with it, play with it. I can't sin. I can't sin. So I cannot sin. So I cannot sin. Say with boldness. This is how you confess the word of God. And when you say you cannot sin, you just go and start eating food and drinking water and doing makeup. Like some of you have done plenty makeup on your faces. That's not where you stop. You carry God's word and you confess it. He said, if you are born of God, you can't sin. What does it mean to be born of God? That's the kind of person that will not sin. What does it mean to be born of God? He said, we have been born by the incorruptible seed of God's word. Meaning, if you have no relationship with God's word, you are not born again. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you take the word of God, you begin to eat it, digest it. You know, when you come to church, more like ruminant animals. When you receive the word of God, is the first way stage of digestion. When you go back home, you still have to engage what you have received. How many of you have seen goats before? They say they have four stomach chambers, right? Is it four or three? Four. Rumen, reticulum, what? Oh, wow, choir, that's the problem. You people are confusing me. One person should stand up and talk. Rumen, reticulum, Flora, stand up. Rumen, reticulum, what? Umazon. Umazon. Umasu. Is she right? And what? Abednego? You can sit down. You try, you. Amen? Flora, this jam people are not trying. We will write that jam again. 190. Which one is 190? 190. The last one was 198. 2 points to go. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. All right. You see, when you've seen goats before, they go when they are at home, you see them chewing the cord. You have seen them before? Hey, talk to me, church. Have you seen them before? You know, they ate a lot in the afternoon or in the morning. They were just eating it plenty. You know the problem with many Christians? So much knowledge. Do you know many of you have so much knowledge? So much. If I carry some of you now, even yesterday when we were doing fatigue, some people were breaking scriptures. This church and scriptures. I was seeing some people, I think it was Donald and somebody was breaking. So, you know, the Bible said they were. So that's how the scripture is. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I said, don't be smart in the habit for this church. Many years ago, Isaac and Nathaniel, when I started teaching them some and guiding them through the media stuff, one day they were in my house. I was in the kitchen. So I told them to do the broke heel for now. What? So while they were doing it, I heard them breaking scriptures. I wanted to come out and I hid myself small. I said, let me hear these boys. When they started hitting the scripture, I said, when did this one come to Glory Carriers? I mean, the questions they wanted to ask that day, and they were talking about home questions. When they asked the question, you know, they've not asked me, they were keeping it as questions. I said, really? You know, there's when somebody asks a question, you say, where did you start thinking too deep like this? What kind of deep? Where did you carry your mind go there? Where you even see question there? I was amazed. We have a lot of knowledge in this church. Some of you, I know you have even wild pastors in town. What if you say, really? The problem is manifestation. That's why God said we should teach them on working out your salvation. Plenty knowledge, but there's no chewing the cord. When you go back home, troubles, the cares of this world will make you forget everything you have learned. Imagine they go and landlord just knock your door, boom, 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 when you pay my rent. The person that just heard in church, I'm a king and a priest. Prophesy to the dry bones. Now, prophesy to the dry bones. Speak as a king, as a priest. No. It's, oh God, oh, to open the book of remembrance. Baba, open the book. Now, you want God, you begin to remember stupid songs. Open the book of remembrance. You start thinking of when you were cleaning church, how you have mopped church, and how God should be faithful. How you have given to TGC even when it was your last money. You sowed. Let me warn all of you. God would not give you money and cause a blessing around you because you were just working hard. Listen, just working hard and dedicating yourself in church. Just, you must add something to it. Your confession of faith, very important. Are you listening to me? Don't just stop at, I've worked for God. Mm-mm. Speak God's word. The Bible says, if a man is faithful in everything but unfaithful in words, he's not a perfect man. He said, if a man is faithful with his words, he is a perfect man. Who is a perfect man? The one that is faithful with words, that speaks the right. Understand this. Guard your heart with all diligence. Don't allow nonsense come out from your heart. Anything that comes from your heart, you'll be judged for it. Idle words will judge you tomorrow. He said, I'm broke. Wait for poverty the next day. I feel sick. You're never going to feel okay. I don't agree with the devil. I'm okay. I have sound health. In the name of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, one time I was doing an analysis with one of my pastor friends. He said, many believers don't pray. Are you aware? He said, even pastors, of them don't pray. Talk less of believers. How many of you open your shop every morning and you begin to speak in the name of Jesus, my business is working? How many of you do that? Many people don't do it. They say, I'm covered. Anywhere I step, my feet is blessed. As I enter now, shop, you are blessed. How many people command their day every morning? You wake up in the morning, you begin to command what you want to see in your day. How many of you do that? It's very important too. You speak God's word into your day. Before you go to your place of business, you speak God's word into your business. You are intentional about what you are saying. And you know, if you have been speaking success, when you go to your shop, there must be an innovation, a new idea in your mind. I mean, you can't be going to your shop every day and be speaking success and your shop is like that every day. One day God will say, paint the shop. For some people, they cannot even remember when last they painted their shop. In the name of Jesus, my business is booming. God will tell you, go and paint the shop. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because when people enter that shop, what used to pursue them is the debt, the cobwebs. In the name of Jesus, I'm being promoted. In the name of Jesus, God will tell you, you will inspire your heart. Go and learn that certain thing that should cause for your promotion. He will inspire you. In the name of Jesus, the gold and mine. Anytime you say the gold and mine, God will tell you, go and learn that programming language. You will not stop the prayer. The gold and mine, you will not see Python in your front. Not snake, I mean Python programming language. The silver and mine, you will not remember who said you should learn data analysis. Say, which one do you want to learn? He said, I want to learn, what's that one I started hearing lately? Not cyber security. It would have been better. This one that you'll be a middleman. Freelancing. I want to learn freelancing. Everybody wants to be a freelancer now. Everybody. Nobody wants to program. I just want to be the middleman to be getting jobs for people outside the country. And be, you know, not knowing that for you to be a good freelancer, you should have a very good skill already. If, for instance, you are a programmer, you'll be a better freelancer because you understand everything about programming. What do you want to do for business? I am getting this idea, sir. I want to start selling perfume. I'll be collecting and be selling the part of least resistance. Think big. Tell somebody to think big. Walk out to salvation. How many of you have God come through for you personally before? Let me just stir you up in this second service. No need to preach so much. Remember, like personally, you declare something, you were declaring it, then you now saw a manifestation. Anyway, you're just declaring. You were so intentional about that one thing, then God now came in for you. You know, there's this song that Sinach sang, Sammy Sinach. No one knows like I know what he's done for me. You know, that one breakthrough. Somehow God came in for you. Now, if he did it before, do you know he can do it again? So if he did it before, why not this time start speaking? You know, there's some kind of problem that when you are declaring, they'll be telling you to your face, it will not work. But you keep on speaking. The same God that healed headache can heal cancer. It's the same God, same power. Just that you are wondering if his power can do this because the situation looks big. But it's bigger than the situation. That power that healed headache can heal what? Cancer. Are you all listening to me this wonderful word? God can come through for you in any situation. You keep on speaking his word. Become better as an individual. Grow in knowledge. The Bible says so that you can touch inheritance in the sanctified. God prepared people. As you grow in the word, you are qualified to touch God's inheritance. He will not allow you to touch things that you are not capacitated for yet. He will not allow you. Because he loves you. I used to give this joke, this example every time. If, for instance, 1 million is making you miss church, You get 1 million. We don't see you in Riaza. Is it 20 million that will bring you to Riaza? Huh? They say the guy made 1 million. Now he cannot make it to Riaza. The schedule is tight. Business is tough. Hallelujah to Jesus. Business is tough. If God now gives you 20 million, will you even come to church? No way. So because he loves you, he will leave you in that level of 20,000 yet. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Grow yourself. You deserve everything beautiful. You know, yesterday I was asking people at the site. I said, how many of you have read the book called Think Big? Many years ago. If you are Gen Z, you will not know that book. How many of you graduated secondary school 2010, 2011, 2009? 2011, 2011, 2010, 2009. I want to know specifically what year, Pastor Phil. 2 what? I say 2011, 2009, 2013 is raising his hand. Are you okay? What of you? 2011? Yes, you tried. So you should be like, what age now? You should be like 92, 94. Amen. We can guess your age from that. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, how many of you have read the book Think Big before? Think Big, okay. That's beautiful. The rest of you, they gave birth to you in 2000. There's no way you would have read that book. How many of you have read the book Gifted Hands before? Alright, who wrote the book? Ben Carson. Dr. Ben Carson. These are a wonderful book to read. Those days especially. I remember I asked a lady, I said, have you read Think Big? She said, no. I said, why? She said, my teacher said I should not read it. I said, your teacher does not want you to think big. Because you come and pass the teacher. Think big. Tell somebody, think big. Think very big. We are not supposed to be small as Christians. Think big. CEO mindset. Not those Facebook CEO alone. No. CEO that has something happening physically. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I was saying something at the tail of the first service. That beggarly mindset, drop it. Drop it. Put target, even financial target. You say, this year I'm going to fast my first 3 days dry. This year, I think we did 3 days dry. Last time, right? I don't know if you finished that fasting. Don't say yes, sir. If you did not do it, if you raise your hand here, fire burn you from head to toe. If you did that 3 days dry, raise your hand. Okay. How many of you ate broke the law of fruits in that fasting? The law of, I'm sensing somebody here that ate mango. If you ate mango in that fasting with you, don't lie. The Holy Ghost is here. You see, we are catching somebody already. Who else? There's somebody here. You ate fruit outside that fruit. Mango. Flora, is it you? You ate mango. Eh? You did not do that 3 days dry fast. You know, eat mango. Who ate mango here? Stand up. You see, God cannot lie. We say you should not eat mango. Even if that brother had said yes, my spirit was still telling me he's here. So you ate mango. Did I say we should eat mango? You wanted to die, so as you were seeing death before you rushed and ate mango. You can sit down. At least you did 3 days dry with mango. You can add that to your CV. You give yourself a project like that. This year, in the name of Jesus, I'm doing 3 days. To me, I feel, you know, if you do 3 days dry, except you are personally, me, I'm not ready to do 5 days dry. And I'm not ready to do 7 days dry. If you do it, you are doing it on your own by your spirit, from the Holy Spirit. As a pastor, I've not communicated to you to do more than 3 days dry. All of you in this church, even pastors, you are not led. Don't be led under my administration. Are you hearing me? Very important. I know I'm warning you. We have done it many years ago. Even now, sir, my wife will not allow me to do that. But I have done it as a young child. When I was your age, I did it. 7 days dry. One of the first days we tried it, on the third day, our prayer started reducing. First day, para, pa, pa, ka, ka, ka. Second day, shwa, ba, ba, ba. Third day, ah, 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 ah. Fourth day, I'm hearing the Lord speaking to us that it's done. How many of you have been there before? God is saying it's done. He has heard our prayers. Fifth day, God said we should thank Him and end the fast. Sixth day, we are eating chicken. Seventh day, we've forgotten the fast. You know, I had this friend, we were doing 3 days dry. He was so sharp. He said, how can we be fasting and you are so sharp? So strong. What is it? Lift up your voice and pray. Second day, I touched him. I said, can I fast him? He said, of course now. I said, are you sure you are fasting? Which kind of energy is this? Everybody is not praying out loud. You are shouting. Are you sure you are fasting? He said, it's fasting. After the 3 days drive, many years later, he now tapped me and said, do you remember that time that I was shouting that you are asking me for us? I said, yes. He said, I ate with Father Money. I drank malt. I see the energy. Everybody was feeling like, he was telling us. I think it was Pastor B. I said, have you done 3 days? He said, yes. I said, how? Say with white rice. I said, we'll not fast 3 days with white rice. Who still help? As long as we are eating the rice, let's go. What used to be like food people, is it still? It's not safi, it's not try this white rice fast. So don't be doing those kind of fasting, it doesn't count. Fasting that counts, you can keep your phone for 1 week, don't touch it. Put your SIM in touchlight phone. You know some people prefer to not fast for, to fast for 1 week and to do that kind of thing. Do it, that's what will help you grow. This week, try it. Don't be on Facebook. Don't post for the Lord understand. Don't post on WhatsApp. Then have other goals, financial goals. Do you get what I'm trying to say? This year, I'm making my first 1 million. It's not Yahoo. I was in the football field and we're talking and they were joking with Yahoo, saying, we're saying the guy's going to be a good, there were some people were saying this young boy will be a good footballer if he grows up. Then one guy now made a statement. He said if he gets Android phone, he will stop playing football. He will start making money. So and I said, what do you mean by that? He said, sir, pastor, you don't go understand. He will start press button if he get Android phone. Okay, and I understood it was Yahoo. I said, so you mean if this guy gets an Android phone, he will not take football serious? They say yes. Then they started joking and laughing. I said, but you people, do you know anything about tech? Then they gathered around me. I said, for instance, people are making, do you know there's a woman that makes 10 million naira every month as a software developer in the US? 10 million naira every month. What is 10 million in dollars? How many dollars? Over $6,000, right? Huh? Even in US, $6,000 is not small money. Every month as a software developer. They were amazed. Do you know you can make that kind of money in this country? We have one of our friends we're discussing one time. The guy was a talkative, but it's not about your talking, it's about what you can produce. A talkative, you will know that guy. Maybe after service I'll mention his name. He used to disturb that time when we're doing fellowship on campus. It was somebody I've even sent one day to go and I said, tell that boy I will knock his head if he doesn't stop, he's stopping. That's how I used to warn him that time. One time one of our friends was talking about him that he was going to get married, I think the last 2 months. I said, so person is getting, he said, yes, but that talkative, I know you are shocked that somebody will marry him. I said, yes, I'm really shocked. I said, God is glorious. He said, pastor, he's what of the other one that did not graduate? He's in Germany. I said, what is he doing in Germany? Is he Yahoo? He said, no. That he couldn't graduate, but he was good with the practical. He can quote so much, but the theory was a problem for him. So he had to withdraw because he was feeling very well. But now he's in Germany. The Bible says the gift of a man make it way for him. Learn a skill. Tell yourself, this year I must make 1 million. This year I must make 5 million. And start working with wisdom. Not working hard merely. Working with what? A part of the Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes says this. It says, a wise man will sharpen his tool, probably an ass, like the Bible will say, for many years, and all of a sudden, if he uses that tool to cut a tree, it will be very easy. Isn't it? He said, but if you carry a blunt ass to cut a tree, it will take so much time. A lot of times, the reason we work too hard is because we don't apply wisdom. Tell somebody, I have wisdom in the name of Jesus. Lay your hands on your head and say, I have wisdom in the name of Jesus. Trust God for wisdom. It's already in your spirit. Pull it out. And there are angels around you. Many of them. Plenty of angels. Have you read the book many years ago that is called Angels on Assignment? How many of you have seen that book before? Angels on Assignment. That you can speak a word and angels will hearken to you. One time, late Bishop Benzi Dawusa was explaining how that the Lord showed him an angel that gives him money, prosperity, money. That whenever he declares money, that angel is the one that brings the money, that makes sure the money comes. There are angels for prosperity that will make sure you are favored. When you say favor surrounds me, there are angels that make sure this word of God becomes a reality. Angels are around me. Shout it out. Many years ago, I was sleeping and the light was so high in my house as a student. And my fan began to burn. Cat caught fire and caught the curtain close to the back window. And it was on fire. I didn't know. I was sleeping. All of a sudden, I saw a baby angel with a baby face. Baby looking angel. I thought I was in a vision. I didn't know it was physical. Hey, fire. As I turned my head, my fan, my curtain on fire. I just carry one wet rag. You know that wet rag, wet faithful rag that is always on your floor as a student? How many of you had that wet faithful rag that was once your singlet? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I just took it and I threw on the fan. That's how everything went off. I just down on me that an angel spoke to me. Many times that it has happened. Are we together? Hallelujah. Angels are around us. You have to be conscious of the presence of angels. As a student, some of you have noticed that thing. If you knew me as a student, that prophet used to behave. Some people say prophet used to behave like something is wrong with his head. And in the morning, when I'm done with my morning prayers, you know, as a student, in 100 level, my roommate said I was not a human being. You can ask about it. His name is Jacob. They asked him, why did you say Prophet Simon is not a human being? He said, Prophet Simon sleeps last and wake up early than everybody in the house. I sleep last after praying. I wake up earlier and begin to pray. And I'm going to school. And I'm not failing. Hallelujah. So one day I was going for lectures. I remember I was with some people coming to greet me. And immediately they came, I just did like this. And they tried to hold me. Guess what happened that moment? The flaps of angels wing all around my face. And the presence of God so strong. And all of a sudden when that happens, when I see that, I begin to prophesy. The whole of the day, I begin to prophesy. Hallelujah to Jesus. The manifestation is too real to doubt the presence of angels around us. Just be conscious of them. That's how you steer a manifestation of their presence around you. Be conscious that they are around you. Speak like you know they are around you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? How can any evil befall you when you have this consciousness? You know, I was reading about angels last night and I found that there was an angel. The Bible says he killed 44 and score blah 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 people. Meaning around 4,000 soldiers died because of one angel. They were trying to touch the Israelite. One angel went out while that guy was sleeping I can't really remember the story, killed over 4,000 plus soldiers. An angel. That's one of the angels around us. And we have a lot of angels. And you are scared? Like I was saying about the testimony, let me close with this. The lady said they returned her phone. Another person, they did not return the phone. Now, which one is a God experience? Yes, that's what you think. But you know some people who quote scripture and prove this one that it's okay too? That God gives and God take. Another one. A Fulani man catch you now. Fulani men catch you. How many of you have seen people that survive Fulanis? Miraculously. Have you heard? Have you heard of those that die too? So which one is a God experience? The one that survived. What of the one that died? God bless the soul. You know it's very difficult to answer these questions, right? Right? Stephen's death, was it a God experience? Are you sure? Stephen's death, was it a God experience? He saw Jesus before he died. Was it a God experience? But he saw Jesus before he died. How many of you remember? The heavens were open. He saw Jesus. Then he said these words, Father, forgive their sins, for they do not know what they do. So was that a God experience? Well, he died like Jesus. Forgive their sins. So there are a lot of circumstances around us, but we must allow God's word to dictate what is right from what is what? Wrong. As I'm talking now, somebody will say, Pastor Simon, the people that died by Fulani, is it their wish? It's not their wish. I'm very sure it's not their wish. But do you escape death from Fulani by saying, I don't wish to die by Fulani? That's not how you escape it. It starts from now. What are your declarations? What are your confessions? Are you going to die by the sword? Have you killed anybody by the sword before? Will you die by the sword? You will not. That's what you say. Leave the consequences to the Holy Spirit and angels. I will not die by the sword in the name of Jesus. Forget the consequences. Don't think of how it will work. Speak faith. Your business is not to know. You know, there are some demons. We went to one village and the tree, which is the Buddha, they say the grandfather is in this tree, the blah 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 is in this tree, and we cannot cut the tree, and my spiritual rank was not enough to cut the tree. All those kind of things. You hear them say, and they are hyping the devil. Another person comes and he says, just cut the tree. Cut the tree. In fact, another person comes and he says, what is in this tree? They say, it's our grandfather's blah blah blah, they bury something in the tree. They say, leave the tree in peace, let it produce mango. Your sins are forgiven, the curse is gone. I tell you, it works. I've seen somebody that they pointed a tree to him. He said, nothing is in the tree. He said, no, this is where they used to live. He said, it's not our business. Forget them. Let's deal with it outside the tree. God created the tree. Demons are living in it. We don't care whatever they are doing in the tree. We never had a covenant with anybody that anything is in that tree. You know, somebody called me recently and he said, sir, is it possible for somebody to be a water girl, a water child? I said, what do you mean by that? He said, sir, there's this lady that says her mother told her she had a vision, and so, due to some experiences when she met her mother, the mother said, yeah, our grandmother made a covenant that all of our girls will be water children. So she's a water child and her children are water children. And I said, wow. So aka they are mommy waters. Living mommy waters. So and I asked the boy, because I've never heard that thing before. I said, do you mean that they were children that were gotten by mommy water? He said, no, that's not what he means. I said, is it mommy water that spoke the babies in the womb of the mothers? I mean, I thought that was what it meant. Because if you say water child, then the father should be a water man or something. He said, no, that's not what I mean, Pastor. I said, how did it happen? He said, their grandmother. I said, how can grandmother go and do covenant and call children water children? I said, tell the girl that she has no business with the waters. And when I wanted to drop the cord, the Holy Spirit said it is his girlfriend. And I said, is she your girlfriend? He said, yes, sir. I said, this is my boy, it's God. But I told you not to enter a relationship. He said, yes, sir, but I didn't know I entered the relationship. See, don't enter a relationship. You went to enter a relationship with what, a girl. The way you are laughing, that's why I started laughing. I'm sure he's watching here. I said, don't enter a relationship. You carry your head and enter. I said, now you deal with water girl. Shebi, you have anointing. Yes. Yes. So, you know, I told him, tell her to forget. Now, I'm still telling him that's not his wife. He should break out. After helping her, help her break out from the relationship. She's not your wife. In fact, God is teaching you a lesson. You help them break their generational curse in your family. And when you are done, you will leave another person who will marry where you have sown. You will sow seed, another person will marry, reap where you have sown. It's painful, but do you know what we have done in people's lives and another person married them? It's not by force. So. When you enter a wrong relationship, you invest. Invest. You will not marry the person. You will not marry the person. That's the bad thing in wrong relationship. You know, some of you say, God forbid, where I sow, I will reap. Try God and see. Except it's not God you are serving. You think you are deceiving the girl? Her real husband is coming on the way. Keep on deceiving her. The day she will not say, let her pray in tongues for 1 hour. As she's praying, God will break your stupid love from her heart. She just wake up in the morning and her real husband will see her and start following her, not allow her rest. Then he will tell her, God said, go and pray. He's very sure he will tell her, when she go and pray, she will see the face littered everywhere. What of you that has been investing for years? Nothing. Don't joke with God. All of you in wrong relationship, break out of it. I told you my story. Entered a relationship this week, went for a program next week, prophesied to in the program. The man of God looked at me and said, Simon! So accurate. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. That is why God will want you to leave certain relationships because of his dealings with you. Mentioning relationship was not a coincidence. Then he said, he that has ears, let him hear. Then he turned and continued preaching. He didn't even know consciously, logically, that my name was Simon. I'm the only one in that meeting. Nobody knew me there that knew my name was Simon. After the meeting, I was promising God in the service, Lord, I will break out today. Lord, I will break out. As I left the service and she called me, I started talking again. She started telling me her problem. I could not break out again. You know, most of you, the reason why you are in a wrong relationship is that the girls are telling you their problem. I'm telling you from experience. Some young men here that have started a relationship, you know how you started a relationship? They told you family problem. You are trying to break water spirit. It's like that hearing me now. That is how the thing started. I tell you the truth, that's how some people start relationships. Don't be too close to somebody that you begin to hear their problem. Do you get what I'm trying to say? One of my friends is a captain today in the military. I remember we were having an official meeting one time. And we asked him why, because we're looking out for each other as brothers. And we said, why did you start your relationship? What was your conviction by the Holy Spirit? He said, sir, she was telling me her secret. I said, she was telling your secret. He said, yes. I said, okay, so what did the Lord say about the secret? He said, that is how we fell in love. You have to be careful. And as we are talking now, somebody said, Pastor, just leave us, leave our love. You are still a kid. You don't understand. It's not a curse. But if you are serving God in a wrong relationship, one day you cry. Because God will break you out of that relationship. God doesn't need to look at tears. If today you are falling in love, let's say 5 years you are in a relationship, you have invested your emotion, your time, your everything, God will end it in less than 30 minutes. Because he loves you. And that's not his will for you. If you like, don't look at my face. It will still happen. You know, when they were telling me years ago to break up, I told even the person that ordained me a pastor, he said, Simon, that's not God's will for you. Leave that relationship. I said, sir, she has problem. I mentioned the problem. He says, Simon, you are too emotional. You will still break up. Don't worry. I promised him in my heart, I will not break up. Nto. You know, Pastor Emma's when he was sweet and cool. My own were going out, wearing dress to match. Pastor Emma, it was uncle now. He would dress in, you remember those days? They would go to studio, pre-wedding picture. I did not tell him to break out. That's how I behave. At the initial point in Glory Christ, I don't tell anybody to break out. I will look at him, I said, I'll say, lover boy, well done. Sister, we are praying, this is what the Lord told us. But I think they even sowed seed, relationship seed to me. I hate it. Relationship seed. I hate it. They still did not marry. Before, let me know it. I've been preaching to you for many years. You give me seed, I will not reject it. I'm talking to somebody here. Some of you that have saved one number, I'll be three emoji, love emoji. Heartbeats. Mine. Dearest. Sugar. Boom, boom. Be careful. And you think you cannot cry, you will cry. You think you can cry, you will cry. You see how you are strong. Have you cried for love? I'm seeing you crying. Are you sure you have not cried? But you have been worried for love. Say yes, you're worried. A mature man of God like you, you are worried for love. Don't enter into a wrong relationship. You cry. You there. Nobody saw me. Don't worry. I prophesied to the spirit realm. Are you hearing me? Watch out. Tell your neighbor, watch out. Be careful. Be careful. Hallelujah to Jesus. And you see, but the danger of wrong relationship is that you just waste your time. You just waste your time. Waste your emotions. Waste everything. And the danger again of wrong relationship is that when you now become emotionally attached, you will not want to separate if God says separate. You will now force yourself to marry. Another danger of wrong relationship is that you may marry. You may marry and be working well, be living well, but not fulfilling purpose. That's another dangerous one. Pastor Chris said something that touched me so much. He said, I've seen many wrong relationships get married to each other. Many. We even advise them and say, don't marry. They will still come and invite us for the wedding. Benjamin, are you hearing me? Are you all hearing me? Donald. Donald said, let me not say what he said. Have you repented? Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you all here? I had to say what Donald said, but you see, he has repented. Donald nearly made all of you cry in this church. Thank God he has repented now. So you are seeing your wife now. Eh? I will talk. Oh. You can see your wife now. Eh? Eh? He has not repented? Okay. Has he stopped what you said? Okay. You know, many years ago, let me tell you a story why I took that thing seriously. Many years ago, I had a young man I was raising here. Listen to the story. And one day, out of pride, he made a statement. They were talking together as a group of guys, and he made a statement. You know, I'm so funny sometimes, so I can call and just joke around. So I was joking, I said, you took a lady out to go out. They actually do that that time. He took a lady out to that eatery close to Villa Suits that time, steam fast. Spent on the lady, took pictures on her birthday. I said, these people that pray with you, you could not even do anything for their birthday. But you took this lady out, you spent on her. So I mocked one or two of them. I said, you are foolish. You see, women, See your brother in the faith, you pray with him. Now his birthday is today. What have you done for him? He said nothing. But last week you took Vera out. I'm just trying to call names. And I said, don't worry. So one of them announced to them. I said, see, you are even more foolish. And then described his whole situation to him. So when I was done describing, I said, learn to look out for each other. At least I learned that in this church. If Ocha is doing birthday, Sonny should buy him something. It's not bad. If Pastor Peter is doing birthday, Pastor Joe should buy him something. It's not bad. Men, like, learn to be nice to yourselves. Like me, most of my friends, if they do birthday, I send them 10,000 recharge card or 5,000 recharge card. We are men. If I do birthday today, you should send for me. It's not only women you'll be giving something. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you need money, any woman in this church will give you. Huh? It's not most men that will give you. You are saying, yes, sir. How many women used to agree they have money in the first place before they give somebody else? And this is the end of the story. He now said, so I was going out. So when I was coming back another time, they were now arguing, Pastor, say you will not marry. You will suffer before you marry. You know those are my jokes. I said, you will pray and grow in stature before you marry. It will take you 10 years. So they were now using what I said to laugh at each other. So when they were laughing for this one that I hit so much, and I got offended, I was hearing him from the window. He now said, me, in fact, in this glory carriers, there's nobody that has capacity to be my wife. The vision God has put upon my life is so strong. I have not seen a woman that can carry it. I just opened the door and I said, so will it be. So he started shaking. I said, so will it be. So when he saw me, now kneel down, sir, I said, okay. So now you have grown in stature. See you. Look at what stature do you have? So much broke. You have grown is, you know, some of you spiritual brothers, you don't know what is helping you is our preaching. Nobody will marry. It's our preaching that is helping you. If we remove our preaching, who wants to marry somebody that don't have money? It's true. You think it's a lie. Say, prophet, it's a lie. Keep your preaching aside. I guess what? Which work? Is this your long neck that will marry? Or the relaxed head that you will marry? You think it's relaxed that they want to marry? Guess what happened to him? Just like I said, I tried killing that pride. It was pride that was growing, and I killed it. And of course, I made sure I got it. One day he saw a lady, he now said, she was my wife. He was telling somebody, that's my wife. The lady just came to church and said, that's my wife. He said, the Lord just said, that's my wife. When I heard the story, I called him to come. I said, what did you say? He said, sir, I did not say it like that. They told me the real story, you know, the friends. He said, sir, immediately he saw what God told him. I said, look at you, what have you achieved? How many souls have you won? Somebody have not won 10 souls. He said, God said, that's my wife. It's a lie. How many souls have you won? All of you in this church, especially some of you looking at me, if you don't win 100 souls, you will not marry in this church. You must win up to 100 souls as men. Richard says, marry next year, no problem. 100 souls, write it down, then you marry. Before you enter a relationship, 100 souls intact before you marry. It's a new law. Because you want to enter a relationship. You might want to enter. You might want to enter. 100 souls. You cannot win. You cannot manage a woman. Donut, 150 souls. How many have you won yet? Start again. Hallelujah to Jesus. Have you been blessed? It's wonderful. Today's service is just wonderful. Like I said in the past, and the way you are playing service, another problem. You are making us sleep. Am I saying the right thing? Which one? Wow. 200 souls. Benjamin, come here. Where are you running to?
for running 150 souls. At least if you win souls, we'll know you have capacity. You say, am I necessary, Abby? You say, me? Are you not my necessary again? So how many souls are you winning? 100 souls. Where is that brother that told me he wants my necessary? I think you are my necessary. You have changed your mind? Are you my necessary? Next 2 years, 200 souls. Benjamin, sit down. Miracle. Benjamin, back. Hallelujah to Jesus. You two that they want to marry, 50 souls. So all the ladies in this church, start winning souls. Let it be 50. Before you marry, we'll collect your 50 souls. I'll scrutinize it. But the lesson I wanted to teach you here is that at that point, and all of you who are men, it was pride. You see, when you sit down and say, the way I'm looking at this girl, nobody have capacity. You, which capacity do you have? Which capacity? That God have not given you. Are you listening to me? Some of you are too proud. It's the beginning of pride. Now, a child will sit there and say, the vision of my life is territorial. All these girls have makeup too much. They can't contain. Nobody should talk like that. Are you listening to me? There is nobody. Firstly, it's an insult to what the Holy Spirit is doing in the life of people. Then it's an insult to Prophet Simon. That we are raising girls that they don't fit into your vision. What useless vision do you have? That all this eternal life I'm teaching. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's an insult. Tell somebody, wake up. Turn to your left and right and say, wake up. Bow your heads and pray. Father, we give you all the praise and we thank you for your word. It's light and life to us. So that our lives will never remain the same again. At the hearing of your word, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.